Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on September 25th, 2025. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan all over the DMV. You are listening live on the Odyssey app, coast to coast, wherever you are. You can watch the show on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream in high definition as well. You will notice that I am not in the same location as Danny.
But, Grant, why would you do that? What are you doing that could possibly be so important and so cool and so unique and neat that you wouldn't be sitting across from your pal?
Just one of the greatest days of my life. That's
oh, hello
all.
There.
All it is one of the coolest things I'll ever do. I am emceeing an event tonight at Ripken's Uncorked. You may be familiar with the name Ripken.
Ripken. Childhood memories, joy, favorite athlete ever. Nope, doesn't ring a bell. Who is it?
It's that Ripken.
Mm.
It's the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation's Ripken's Uncorked event tonight in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland. I am broadcasting live from out here today until 5 o'clock. Danny will take you up to 6:30. Then I've got to go run some stuff at a cocktail hour for Cal and Company. But I'll be with Mike Elias and Buck Showalter and Cal Ripken Jr. and Linda Carter and just a bunch of dignitaries tonight. I am steamed up. So if my lips sound like they're filled with smile, it's because they are filled with smile.
I like the casual Linda Carter drop, by the way. For people of my age and older, they're like, wait, Wonder Woman's going to be there?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman's going to be there.
The real-life Wonder Woman is in the house today. So, yeah, we'll have some guests along the way. Cal Ripken Jr. is going to join us on site, which will be very, very cool, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, a little after 4:30. But I do have to say, I've got to admit something. Something of an apology to Darius and some of our listeners, maybe. You know, I've said I'll never live in Maryland. I think I have to walk that back just a tad.
Whoa.
I would move to Annapolis in an hour.
Dude, Annapolis is awesome.
I've never slept on anything more than I've slept on Annapolis. Why aren't we here all the time? Why don't I come here on overnights with my wife? Why don't I come here every weekend? It's not even that far.
No, we did that.
When I hear Annapolis, I think of like, I don't know why, but like, I don't know, some beach in Delaware.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It might as well be 3 hours away.
Like down the ocean.
It was like a 37-minute drive from the city, and then I was in one of the most gorgeous places ever. Everything Pete said was right. I'm right here by the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Pete was right. I mean, this is amazing what's happening here.
Yeah, we did. It became something of a minor tradition, I would say. We didn't do it this time because everybody was too busy. But before each of our two older boys was born, we did a little Airbnb, the wife and I, in Annapolis. Just staying right there downtown, hanging out, walking around to restaurants. It is just quaint and gorgeous, and the food is awesome. Everything about it. I just, whatever it is, it's beautiful. But I love the speed. I love the fact that it's still big city enough where you can get things and it's open past like 8 p.m., but also that it's quiet enough. Very quaint. I'm a fan. I'm an Annapolis fan.
Yeah, quaint is a great word.
It's quaint.
I would say, like, it's cute if I could say that. That's
you could
a
say
weird
that.
Thing for
no,
a 35-year-old to say. I texted with Nick Ashew, who lives somewhere out here, like 20 minutes away. And I was like, this place is adorable. Again, weird thing that I would say, like, that's not a word I would use for a location. I love Annapolis. The Leesburg in me, it's like that, but on the water,
yep.
But with like fancier looking, you know, weirdly architecturally designed buildings. I don't know, man. I'm just all the way in. And I don't know what I've been doing, but I've been sleeping. So I have to apologize. I would actually live in Maryland. Very specifically, I would live in Annapolis.
You imagine just you up and moved to Annapolis?
I texted my wife today. I said, we need to figure something out here. This is where we need to be. And she said, you know that's in Maryland, right? And I said,
great response.
Exactly.
Great response.
I mean, she's born and raised in Virginia. Yeah. I was technically born in only Maryland and lived there for like 4 months. The little sneaky thing about me, nobody knows. Cakes Allville style, James Wood style. But I'm a Virginia guy all the way, 6 months till right now, this moment. Will always be a Virginia guy until I met Annapolis. And now I kind of, there's a little flirtation today. We hit it off a little bit. She was smiling at me. I was smiling at her. I just kind of like the cut of her jib. That's all.
It is beautiful. The one of my favorite spots there was on Man vs. Food. It's either Ruth and Chick's Deli or Chick and Ruth's Deli. I can never remember the order. But the point is, it's like...
I think it's called Chicky and Pete's.
Chicky and Pete's? I don't know who Ruth is. Anyway, the point of the dude's story is, this is the most Grant place possible. You sit down like in an old school lunch counter, and it's all grilled right there.
Did
and
you
it's
say like, lunch counter?
Yeah, and it's like top of the morning to you, sir. It's like, oh, it's everything about it's old school. It's the now, you don't care about milkshakes because you're from space or a pod. But it's like the biggest milkshakes human beings can ever consume. And it's all the like short order cook type food, the burgers, the country fried steaks and the great breakfast. It like you could go there every day and find something new.
Well, Annapolis is the best. That's where the show's coming to you live from. You'll hear from Cal Ripken Jr. today. Give you a little more of what I know about the event tonight as we go here. But basically, I'm emceeing. I'm bringing some folks up on stage. I didn't mention, but I should, because I'm actually a fan of them, as little as I know about music. This is one of the bands that crossed my desk during my time growing up. Good Charlotte in the house this evening.
You know my Good Charlotte story, or do you forget about this?
I don't know my Good Charlotte
story. So we are, I think it's my freshman year, or maybe sophomore year, as a collegian at the George Washington University.
Course.
And we're on a road trip where we had to fly in an airplane, and we land and we're waiting for the rental vans. It's one of the irritating processes of travel when you travel, you know, not on the bus. So we're there waiting for a long time. Well, waiting right next to us is Waldorf origined DC yes. area band Good Charlotte.
That's right.
Like, they're sitting right there next to us. I recognized them immediately because I'd seen them at the Smith Center playing a concert that was free for students to go to. And I'm like, that is Good Charlotte right there. They're just sitting there waiting also. They're also waiting. They had just released their latest single, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous. Just very good Charlotte, right?
That's 2002, my friend.
Yeah. So, here I am, standing right next to him for a long time. I should probably say something. I shouldn't, but whatever. I did. It came up like it was in my gut. I was like, oh, just go for it. They'll laugh. We're all sitting there waiting for a long time. It's obvious and awkward. And I go, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous, huh? I mean, crickets.
Oh, that's tough.
Tumbleweed. They looked at me as if I'd just been like, hey, man, just give me your spleen real quick.
Right.
Reach into your still beating the chest, heart, and rip it out and stab it with a pencil. It was the worst bombing in the history of mankind. Yeah. Like trying to do some live bits, and I went, let that be a lesson. Never talked to anyone. And I haven't since.
That was the last day that you talked to people?
That's the last time
That's what made you stop? Now that you hate me for ever interacting and trying to have pleasant encounters with strangers, this all comes back to this moment?
It was that moment. That was my trauma. That was the time. Mm. So I didn't know you at that point, but I went full Paulson, where I'm like, let me get on up there and sidle up right next to him.
It's
do
called
some,
being pleasant.
And
you're
do some shucking and jiving. Yeah. So I went full Paulson, and I got smacked so hard by the awkwardness and pain that I said never again. And I haven't since. I've never backslid.
Well, Dad, if you don't come in with the anthem and little things in the next couple of rejoins, are you even lifting, bro? I mean, those are jams. So let's do that. It's going to be a fun day on Grant and Danny. Lots to get into, including the Commanders and the Falcons on Sunday, which we'll get to in just a second. Quick look at the Thursday night football matchup tonight, Danny. Westwood One broadcast here on 106.7 The Fan with the Nats idol. You've got the Seahawks and the Cardinals this evening. A little NFC West game between a couple of 2-1 clubs. Both have flaws for sure. But I've got to say, I'm starting to like this Seattle team.
You stole the words out of my mouth. I like this Seattle team.
I think this is a playoff football team. Their defense finished the final stretch of last year. The whole second half, they were top 10, but they were one of the best defenses in the league down the stretch after they hired Mike McDonald last year. It was a terrific DC, came over from Baltimore to be their head coach. They lose in week one to San Francisco before a bunch of the 49ers injuries, but it was a very winnable game. Sam Darnold turned the ball over a couple of times, but otherwise, you got a shot. Then they pummel the Steelers by two touchdowns. They blow out the Saints, so they come in with a lot of momentum, and they get a Cardinals team tonight that's not getting a productivity out of Kyler Murray. They're on the road. It's in the division. It's a tight spread, so it's going to be a close football game. But if Seattle could get to 3-1, I know they got the Bucs coming up, but on the other side of that, it's the Jags and the Texans. This feels like a possible 9-10 win wildcard team, and who knows? You know, Matt Stafford's back gives. Niners keep suffering injuries. They could be a surprise division winner in the West.
Yeah, and that's my kind of pick to click right now, just given what keeps happening to San Francisco and the fact that the Rams, you know, had missed a couple opportunities, most significantly in that Philly game.
And they're really good, though.
They are
the Rams are really good.
I just don't trust the health for them. And it's Stafford. I feel like something's going to happen there. And, you know, Puka Nacua always seems to miss a handful of games, but they are. They are well built. I think Seattle wins that division because of this part of it's because of that schedule you mentioned. But for Arizona, they are 2-1, but there's your yeah, but. Remember we did that earlier in the week? We're talking about Washington being 2-1. Yeah, but. And there's a couple things you could poke some holes in. That is the biggest yeah, but team probably in the NFL. They are not good, and yet there they are at 2-1. They let Carolina back in the game when they were dominant in that one, barely kind of eked out a win in New Orleans in a coin toss kind of a game. The offense, as you said, hasn't gotten going. Just at a certain point, I'm no longer waiting for Kyler Murray to figure it out. This is it, man. Like I'm generally, I feel like, pretty patient when it comes to quarterbacks and letting guys try to develop and figure out what they are and this, that, and the other. When you invest a first-round pick, it's worth finding out to the end of the earth. I think I pretty much figured it out. Like, the occasional gimmick play here and there, the occasional, wow, he scrambled for 17 seconds and, you know, completed an 8-yarder. That's fine. He ain't it. It just, at some point, you've got to start playing really, really well. Like, if you know what I mean? If we're going to count on you, they need to be looking in a different direction. But that's my only
I do love the idea that you've kind of decided now to rule on Kyler Murray at 7 years in and age 29.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Is it
really 7 years?
Yeah, he's like deep into his second contract at this point. I mean, this is not a young developing player at all. He's been kind of the same guy throughout his entire career, so your point's well taken. Betting line tonight, by the way, the Cardinals at home are 1.5-point dogs. So it's one of those games where if you like the home team on the money line, you can actually get plus money on this. But I do like Seattle to win by a field goal or so. They're just a better team in a lot of spots, including right now, maybe at quarterback, oddly enough, the way Darnold's played the last couple of weeks. He's made some athletic plays. But let's get to the Falcons and the Commanders. Here's where I want to start on this with you, Danny. Have you noticed that out of Atlanta, and maybe this is just because I have a couple of buddies that do radio and work in the media down there that I've talked to, that I have this kind of feeling. They are talking about this game, not the team itself, but the media, the fan base, as a season definer. They are talking about this game in Atlanta as if the result is going to determine whether or not they're going to have a competitive season. Feels early for that. But that's what happens when you get blown out by 30 by a bad team last week. They get shut out by the Panthers, who came in 0-2. They lose 30-0 in their worst performance as a club in years. And Michael Penix looked like a guy that shouldn't start. Now, they need to keep starting him. They need to develop him. But that's how he played. He played like a guy that gave you absolutely no chance. It was a dreadful performance. And because of all of those things, that confluence of things, I think, now at 1-2, going into this game with Washington, their media is looking at this game and they're going, the Commanders are possibly without Jaden Daniels. They're likely without Terry McLaurin. They might also be without Noah Brown and John Bates. They've got two guards that have already been swapped out. That's all on the offensive side of the ball, mind you. Their secondary is the Walking Wounded. It's a TV show with a bunch of zombies just kind of arms in front of them wandering around at this point. Their narrative is, if we can't beat this Washington group at home this week coming off of that dud in a show-me spot, then at 1-3, we're starting to talk about Raheem Morris in year two and his job security. They've already fired a coach, oh, by the way, this week. That's the narrative out of there.
Yeah.
That's scary if you're the Commanders with all those injuries going on the road when a team is that hungry and has its backs against the wall to that extent.
So if you're one of these teams, like if you're the Jets or maybe that's not a great example, but a team that's got no shot this year, right? Just somebody that's 1-2 or 0-3 that everybody knows isn't very good and – you're talking about desperation. You can be as desperate as you want. I don't care if you're desperate. If you're desperate and you've got some talented playmakers, that makes you dangerous to me. So everybody's going to roll their eyes and laugh at that for a team that just lost 30 to nothing on the road against the Carolina Panthers. And they looked dreadful. They did not look NFL competitive. They looked like a team that's going to pick first or second in the draft. I'm very aware of that. There's still too much danger in Bijan Robinson and Drake London and some of these young pass rushers for me to just kind of gloss over it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody in that building that's getting paid to figure out what to do actually figures out what to do, where you get Bijan Robinson ahead of steam, you know, get him a running start on some of these little dump down, early down passes to get him out in space. You just figure out that you've got really, really good weaponry and maybe a different way to utilize them at all. If anybody's up in the lab figuring that out, this is a dangerous team still. And I know nobody wants to hear about that. They have not played well on offense yet. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That's not the debate. The point is, they're more capable than this. And I don't want to be the one where the musical chair stops them and we find out this week, hey, actually, they did find something on offense. Find it against Buffalo or San Francisco, some of their teams that they're playing later. I'm scared that they might find it this week against a beat-up secondary. And, you know, defensively, again, if they get you into some bat down and distance, a la Washington, they can get after the passer a little bit. See, that Minnesota game is the example.
So I went into the Raiders game based on the rest disadvantage for Vegas coming cross-country after Monday night, with Washington having not played since Thursday, of the mindset that the Commanders were definitely going to win. I would have been very, very surprised if they didn't. It was the kind of game where I rarely ever look at a betting line and bet on Washington to cover a spread, but that would have been the week to do it. I don't feel the same way this week. Now, am I going to pick them to win? Yes. Do I think that they will? Absolutely. Would I be a little bit surprised if they didn't? I would. But I can also see it. I couldn't see it with the Raiders, cross country, short week, travel, the air in the defense, the way they were playing. I just thought it was a really, really good matchup for the Commanders. The Falcons is less that. And so I think our show and our discussions and discourse needs to kind of reflect that this week. But the underlying element of this matchup to me, and just kind of what makes this fun going in, is the desperation you can smell coming from Atlanta already. Makes it a little scarier going there. If Washington was fully healthy, I'd feel a lot better. But those two things together, the fact that they really need it, that the walls are caving in a little bit super early on them, probably earlier than should be the case, but also that you're so banged up might give the Falcons a chance. I want to play this audio from 680 The Fan in Atlanta, where a media that remembers Marcus Mariota starting for the Falcons had this to say about this game with Washington.
Telling you, I'm looking you right in your eye. If Marcus Mariota is quarterbacking the Commanders, he is not coming in here to end the Falcons season. That cannot happen
Be careful what you say.
We better
be careful.
Raheem Morris
what you say.
Needs to be careful.
If we lose
about
Marcus Mariota next week.
I'm telling you.
I think Jaden Daniels is going to play, but if we lose to Marcus Mariota, you fire him right then. You fire him, period. I don't want to hear it after that.
So there's a lot to chew on there. I mean, that is an incredible commentary about a guy who's four games into his second season. But first off, they talk about if Marcus Mariota-led Washington comes in and beats them, their season ends. I think that's premature. Like, their demise will have been exaggerated, but you can kind of get the point. Tampa Bay's got a legit chance to go to 4-0 this week. You'd be 1-3, three games back. You'd need to sweep them moving forward and put a bunch of now birdies in the cup after a bunch of bogeys on Ryder Cup week. So I understand the urgency here, but I do think that's a little overstated to say that their season would end. I also love this idea. You can't come into the Benz and do that, as if they've got some amazing home field advantage. I mean, that stadium is like 40, 60 Washington fans when they play here. Can we not pretend like this is Lambeau Field in December? You're not coming into the Benz and disrespecting us. It's like the stadium that every college team ever uses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that, it's just not like, I don't think of the Benz and
it's a regional airport. Settle down.
Damn, that's the place. You just can't go beat the Falcons there. You better hope that Drake London and Michael Penix aren't on the field in the Benz on carpet.
I know Tampa did in week one, but you don't come into the Benz and win.
Oh, that's true. They've already played Tampa.
Yeah,
they're really effectively like three games behind them even at this point. So I get the aggressiveness of needing to get back into the race. But also, they have not updated any kind of file on Mariota, who, yeah, when he was in Atlanta on a bad outfit, bad offense, you know, a worse version of himself, that if he comes there and beats you, it's a really bad sign.
So I understand that to a degree. You're forgiven for not seeing a couple backup, you know, short samples of him coming in relief for Washington on, you know, not national television or regional casts. Their view of him is a much larger sample where he wasn't particularly good, got benched and walked out.
But it's such a dependent position. I mean, now you're coming in there in an elite offense run by a guy who's going to be a head coach again because he can scheme
really
everybody
good.
Up, where Marcus Mariota fits like a glove.
Totally.
I mean, do we think Marcus Mariota suddenly got great at being a quarterback? I don't think so. I think he's a really good fit
yeah.
in a good situation.
Same. Yeah, I think that's kind of my clear case for it. So, yeah, but to me, they're forgiven for not having their file totally updated. The same way that I wasn't ready to crown Sam Darnold after a couple of weeks last year before he finally just kept putting in great samples in Minnesota. Like, to me, it was the, yeah, he could have a nice quarter and a half, but he's going to turn it over a million times and melt down. And he was awesome for, you know, 14, 15 weeks last year in Minnesota. So I understand not updating it yet, but you and I think differently about it. I'm going, he finally found a place, talking about Mariota, where this all makes sense. And he's kind of an extension of Kingsbury there, where there's always a good option for him. You're not asking him to do things that he's not really capable of doing or should be doing.
Yeah, I trust him to play well. I think in this offense, he's going to go out. He's never really going to beat you. He's not going to turn the football over three or four times. They have one turnover all season. It was kind of a fluky fumble by him, but there was never a ball in harm's way. They didn't really ask him to make throws that would have put the ball in harm's way. But I understand the logic. I can see myself being in that same spot where, you know, our version of that would be like if Taylor Heinicke was somewhere now getting to play for an elite level quarterback in a good offense. In a great scheme, and he had a couple of good games where I'm saying, I can't go to 1-3 because Taylor Heinicke comes into Northwest and beats me. But then DQ's on the hot seat. Then he needs to be fired. You know, then we could do the same thing this way.
Yeah, like if the Bears were starting Sam Howell in 2 weeks, I'd have that same, you know, that same sort of refrain.
So let's open up the phones on this then. At 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The Falcons, less the team, but more the media and the fan base, are defining this game this weekend as if it's going to make or break their season. There is a desperation they're going to play with coming off of getting blanked 30-0 by one of the bad teams in this league. And you've got all the injuries with Washington. So for all the reasons you would think the Commanders go down there and beat them, a couple things working against them. What is your level of confidence in the Commanders getting a win? 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Telling you, I'm looking you right in your eye. If Marcus Mariota is quarterbacking the Commanders, he is not coming in here to end the Falcons season. That cannot happen in the bins.
Be careful what you say.
We better
be careful.
Raheem Morris
what you say.
Needs to be careful.
If we lose Marcus Mariota next week,
I'm telling you,
I think Jaden Daniels is going to play. But if we lose Marcus Mariota, you fire him right then. You fire him. Period. I don't want to hear it after that.
The knives are already out in Atlanta, it would appear. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. I mean, don't have a bad week in this league, right? Don't get blown out 30-0 by a bad football team.
Can't have it.
They'll be coming for you. 680 The Fan, the audio there. Welcome back. Grant and Danny with you. I'm in Annapolis getting ready for the Ripkins Uncorked event I'm emceeing tonight. Danny is in our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard. The question for you guys is, what's your confidence in the Commanders handling their business at the Falcons on Sunday? I'm putting it well below how I felt about the Vegas game, but I still feel good on a 1 to 10 scale. I was probably like an 8 in their game against the Raiders. I think I'm probably a 6 in this game. I'm a little better than a 50-50 matchup, maybe 60% chance to win this thing, I think, going there. I certainly have some pause. I would have preferred that they play a close game with the Panthers, win or lose, last week. I think when you get eviscerated the way that they did, when you get annihilated, it's no different to me, Danny, than when you like mess up in your marriage or you mess up at work or something. If you just have one of those days where you get to the office late and your boss is grilling you and you screw something up, the next day you are on your P's
and Q's. Yeah, your P's and Q's, yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm here early. Oh, everything's exactly how it's supposed to be. I'm just making calls and getting sales. You've got that accomplished feeling about you. That next day after you screw something up, that's when you bring the flowers and you're the best husband ever and all those things. That's where the Falcons are going to be. Everybody's showing up all week. Everyone's very attentive. Everyone's writing the extra note. Everyone's spending the extra 5 minutes after practice. You almost never want to play the team that had the worst game in the league the week before.
Especially one that, again, I still think is capable. They have not shown it yet. But it doesn't matter when you play, again, pick your team that you think is going to pick in the top three, right? I don't care if they got shellacked the week before. Like, you play Cleveland, play them anytime. Play them tomorrow, play them Thursday, play them Saturday. Good. Like, I can't believe, I'm so grateful they're on the schedule.
Just don't be the Packers.
Well, yeah, I suppose. So, again, I keep picking bad examples. But you know the point of the dude's story here is Atlanta has enough playmakers, has enough talented folks where I'm going, I'm not saying it's a sleeping giant, but they're capable of punching back, especially in a game with a beleaguered and beat-up team that Washington happens to be right now. So, for me, confidence level is a little bit lower. I was probably a 7.5 against the Raiders. I felt good about it, as good as you can feel, I would say, just generally with what happens in the NFL. Because, again, we saw samples where favorites don't cover. Cleveland beat Green Bay, something I never thought would happen in a million years. I would have staked my life on it. You know, there you go. But I felt 7.5 pretty good. This week, it's a coin toss for me. I feel 50-50 just because of that desperation you mentioned. And somebody, after three games of not going very well, had to have done some introspection and some self-scouting to maybe make some adjustments, and I don't want to be the team they unveiled against.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067 to hop in. Of course, we're on social, at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny. You want to hit us up there. Andre's in Upper Marlboro on G&D. What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's up, fellas? First, I'm going to say I believe we're going to win. I mean, I can't put a number on it. And what I keep hearing people talk about that you guys were just talking about is that Atlanta just came off of a butt-whipping. I'm not worried about that because – the Redskins lost to Green Bay, so they already had their loss and they woke up. But another reason why I'm confident and why I think they will win, and I've been saying this anytime I call in you guys or any show talking about the Commanders, it's something about having a good owner, a good front office, and a good coaching staff, because all that is trickled down to the athletes where these guys are playing, and this next man up mentality seems to work. And the reason why I'm confident is that all that has trickled down to the fans. So to me, I'm confident they'll win. Now, if they lose, I'm not going to be disappointed because they've given me confidence where we got a new product on the football field that's different from what we've been used to. So, I mean, that's my spiel on it.
No, well, look no further than the fact that they've won 9 of their last 11 at home, Danny. When's the last time that happened?
A long time ago, probably when I was a child. But his point, I think, is a good one, and here's what I mean. Big picture, long term, I still feel very good.
Yeah.
This is a good process. This particular small sample we're talking about doesn't change that to me. When you're down Terry McLaurin, you're down JD5, you're down a number of members of your secondary, probably. You may be not have John Bates or some of the other injuries that they're dealing with, Noah Brown. Like, this individual sample going on the road and potentially, I'm just saying in this hypothetical, losing to Atlanta doesn't change the big picture where I'm going, I'm thrilled, I'm pleased. Everything's heading in the right direction.
Well, this one also feels pretty big from a Washington standpoint, from the perspective of So you come out, you handle your business, you beat a team you should in week one. Then in week two, you level up a little bit, and you get blown out on the road. Then you come back home, you get a team you should beat, you handle your business, you blow them out, just like in week one. Now you go back on the road, and you level up a little bit. And so you're riding the roller coaster some if you play poorly on the road again and you lose. You also now have this trend of going on the road two times and your game not being portable and it not being a situation where you could connect the dots. And then on top of that, you look ahead to next week in the Chargers, who may well, right now at this moment, be the best team in the NFL. I think that's probably hyperbolic, but they have the best record.
They're in the combo.
Tied for it, and they might have the MVP at quarterback through three games and Justin Herbert, and they've kind of modified their offense to bring it into the 2020s now, so they're not playing Harbaugh Bowl. And if you're 2-2 going into a game with the Chargers cross-country at their place, not that it's a tough place to play, but the travel's a pain in the tuchus, now you're looking at possibly being 2-3 to start the season, whereas it's almost like a playoff series in hockey for the Caps or something. You go into tonight's game four. If you go up 3-1, you're probably going to be okay over the next few weeks. But if you lose tonight, it's 2-2, and then you're hitting the road to go to the tough building. You know, now you're kind of up against it here in the coming days. So this one feels like a little bit of a pendulum swinger for Washington in the early part of the season as well. Let's go to Carlos in Saverna Park. What's up, Carlos? How are you?
I'm doing great. Gentlemen, listen, in Marcus Mariota, we trust if he does play. I know exactly how those Falcons reporters feel. Doesn't it feel great that we're on the opposite side of that? That we have an organization that has a good product on the field. My confidence level is high. I think we're going to win the game. I'm not trying to be cocky about it, but yeah, my confidence level is high. And Grant and Danny, next year you guys got to place a bar or put a bar in Annapolis to do your show. Because I'm telling you, I love downtown Annapolis. I was a little hurt that you guys didn't put Annapolis on the chart of bars not to put a host in. But yes, Annapolis is beautiful. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, that's in a lot of ways, it's unfortunately like the old rules. That's Baltimore territory, which stinks because I think there's plenty of Washington folks out that way. Because Savannah Park's on the way to Annapolis.
I would not consider Annapolis part of the D.C. media market. Now, I will say, our signal is so strong all over Virginia. You can go past Kings Dominion, down toward Richmond, all over the place, and you can pick us up crystal clear. Maryland's odd, because like you get 15 minutes from Baltimore, there's areas where it can be tough. Even 15 minutes south of Baltimore, it can be hard. But I was in Annapolis, and there were some crackly spots, but I was listening to B. Mitch and Finley today, you know, loud and clear as I was kind of driving around. So there's certainly the ability to listen out here. But I can't imagine this is like a, you know, home base for us or a strong
a
spot
hub, yeah.
to do a event and that they'd come by the masses. If we build it, they will come. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind it. Did you say Annapolis? I'll be there. Just tell me where to go. Appreciate the phone call, buddy. What is going on with Terry McLaurin, and is he going to play on Sunday? We'll give you his practice update from today and what it means for this weekend next on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Receiver, I would say similarly murky status, although probably more toward the negative side as it pertains to this week. McCourt did not practice yesterday, dealing with a quad injury. It's an interesting one, described to me as more of a hip flexor injury. Doesn't matter, it's all the same thing. Still struggles to run. May not be able to play this week. Got another second opinion on his injury yesterday, so we'll see where that lands him. And then for tonight's game, a really fun one. Seattle gets...
That was Ian Rappaport, as heard on NFL Network this morning on Good Morning Football, talking Terry McLaurin. So we've gone from quad to sports hernia to hip flexor.
And he goes, it's all the same thing. Most certainly is not.
I don't think it is. It's okay to just say you don't know, or that the information you're getting keeps changing. But we've heard three different things now. The bottom line is he keeps getting opinions, and he's still not practicing. He was not on the practice field today. So my first question is, because you guys have been tracking this closer, I'm up in Annapolis getting ready for the Ripken event. Did we see him today at all? I know he wasn't practicing, but did the media actually see him at the facility?
Not as far as I know, but I don't want to put my stamp on that. But
Dad to dig on that. Here's my point on this.
He didn't practice for sure. We know that.
They've seen everybody else. Mm-hmm. My radar always goes up and my antenna always goes up when you're kind of hiding the player, or the player is hiding himself from being seen during an injury. Now, I'm not saying that's 100% what's going on. You might be outside of the area to go get an opinion. You might be seeing a specialist or what have you, but generally, when guys don't practice, they're around. You know, Ja'Cory Cross-Kemaret yesterday didn't practice. The media saw him. Noah Brown, John Bates, that list goes on and on. Terry was not in the locker room by the time we got into the locker room after the game on Sunday. Like, his locker was cleaned up, and he was gone post-game. And to my knowledge, and I'll text a couple of the media guys to corroborate this, because I have not been in Ashburn this week, but I heard JP say something along the lines of, they didn't see him at the facility yesterday. Doesn't mean he wasn't there, but I bring this up to say, it just adds to not knowing. You know, sometimes with a quarterback or with a player, you could be, you know, in a walking boot or on crutches, and so you don't want to be seen or what have you. I'm not saying that's the case with Terry, but my point is, when you're not at the facility or on the practice field or around the media, it just leaves open the possibility of, well, what is really going on? And now we've heard three different things, so it's impossible to guess. Here's what I am willing to speculate on Thursday with him not being at practice. It's going to be really, really hard for him to play on Sunday.
I think there's no question about that, right? Again, the seeking of second opinions, you're not doing that because everything's okay. I don't know what opinion we're on, if it's two or three or
how about
or
that,
five.
By the way? Rap Sheet said he's getting another second opinion. Is that a thing? Like, that's not the definition.
Yeah.
The second means the second.
A second opinion is a third opinion. But again, right. I don't want to get semantics about number of opinions.
And if there's been two second opinions, that's four opinions.
Yeah. Wow. You squared if it's the fourth? Who knows? Part of the dude's story is he's out this weekend, as far as I'm concerned. Like, if he plays, it's a miracle. And I'm now more when? I'm not talking about this week. Is it next week? Do you get miraculously better enough in a couple of days when, you know, you're not even jogging through stuff, doing individuals or working on the side with a trainer when people can see? So, yeah, to me, this is a little bit more longer term. So, yeah, I have my concern radar up.
Well, my concern radar's been up since he didn't come back into the game and he's your most important player at the receiver position to try to get this thing going consistently on offense. But, yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. So, if he doesn't play, how do you feel about the wide receiver group? Debo's been awesome. They can certainly utilize and tap into him as a receiver. But I don't know, man. I mean, I think you got to keep him in the role he's been in, where it's a lot of...
Because it's working, yeah.
100%. He's the focal point of the offense, but it's a lot of non-traditional receiver stuff. He got a direct snap in a wildcat this week. He's getting carries. He's in the backfield. He's in motion. So that means it's a non-Debo question then. It's really about Chris Moore, who's been very good in the regular season. Luke McCaffrey got a limited chance this past week, caught three balls, was really, really good. Fourth quarter, scored a touchdown. And then maybe Jalen Lane being elevated, who's struggled a bit as a wide receiver, but he's coming off of a 90-yard punt return touchdown, and maybe his confidence is as high as it's been at any point.
So here's my hypothetical. I'm kind of wondering aloud. I don't think this is the case, by the way, but bear with me. Let's say you go, okay, this week, Jalen Lane, you're Debo Samuel. You're my slot guy, gadget guy, underneath guy, bubble screen guy, jet motion guy, line up in the backfield sometimes guy, using your speed. And Debo, you're now more kind of our outside guy, right? You know, I'm not saying you're Terry McLaurin, but you're going to do some of that stuff. Again, I don't think he's got the downfield that McLaurin has, but I don't think anybody on their roster really does right now this minute. I wouldn't do that. for the record. I would turn up my Zach Ertz fader. I would turn up my JCM fader, assuming he's able to go. I think he will. I keep my Debo fader exactly where it's been, which is the role he's in, he's good at. I'm not going to ask my small forward that's been, you know, drilling threes and hitting step backs and running kind of point forward to all of a sudden go down and play in the post. I'm not doing anything different. If he ain't broke, I ain't fixing it, right? I'm leaving Debo alone. It's the other guys that I'm going to have to ramp up the role for, and that's where my concern comes in. I hope Luke McCaffrey. I hope Jalen Land. I hope Chris Moore. I got way more deposits in the bank with the other guys. I'm way more of a believe it when I see it in games, not just in shorts and a t-shirt. I don't believe in the Aldrick Robinson Award. I just need to make sure that it's real before I start casting my faith that way. And I don't feel great. I don't feel certain at all about the receiver position outside of Debo.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe we need to recalibrate expectations. We're talking about confidence for the Commanders in this game. And if you would have said to me at the start of the year, like right before week one, if you would have said, okay, they're going to play an early season game, and I'm using potential here because we just don't know who's in and who's out, but maybe without Daniels, McLaurin, Bates, Noah Brown, a couple guys in the secondary, you would say, oh, well, they're probably going to lose that game. And yet, based on how they played the Raiders, and maybe based on what we saw from Atlanta against Carolina, that's not the way we're all viewing this thing. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Look what they just did.
Yeah.
They can deal with injuries. It's week to week, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, against that Raiders team that had just played on a late Monday night game and flown across America, that isn't very good defensively. Sure, you could get right and you can play through injuries, but that should not be the expectation. You know, there's plenty of shows that'll just say, next man up, got to be just as good as the previous guy. I can't do that because I believe in next player up for sure. I don't believe in next men up. I don't believe in next depth chart group up. You know, when you start
right.
dropping, you had five guys at the start of the year. If two of them aren't playing and you're down to three, and a couple of them have combined for like, you know, 20 career catches, like it's a different conversation to start having.
Without a doubt. Again, for a week, you can get away with it, right? For 2 weeks, maybe even. In short samples, the backup. At some point where these guys are geniuses who are standing up all night trying to figure out how to exploit your weaknesses, they will be exploited. You're like, if you're on, you know, member of the secondary number 12, they're going to figure out where Tyler Owens is and run something that they don't think he can stop until you prove that you can. Maybe not this week, but at some point when you're playing a meaningful game, they're going to exploit your weakness. They know as good as you do, and you've got to constantly kind of be evolving there. There's a reason certain guys make more than other guys, right? There's a reason the junks get paid more than your pal. Right? There's a reason. A lot of deposits in the bank, a lot of equity there has been built up. That's the deal, right? And it makes sense, and it should be that way. But it's overly simplistic. I understand that's what players have to say, and because players say it and because coaches say it, you're not going to go, well, if Terry McLaurin's out, we'll just punt. And of course not. You got to go play the football game and see what happens. But you could put your adult cap on and figure out that, yeah, you're a little bit more limited if you've got to have Chris Moore for 17 weeks than you would with Terry McLaurin. There's a reason one's going to make 30 and the other was available for anyone to sign for months and months and months and months and months and months and months, right, and is barely on this roster.
Well, speaking of McLaurin, it's 10 catches through three games, which is the lowest total he's had before, and now a game being missed by injury potentially, which would be the first time in about 75 Commanders tilts where that's happened. You're going back 4+ seasons for his last missed game. Let's get into just the start of his year and how he gets on track and when that'll happen now with his injury as well. We can do that next alongside Danny. I'm Grant. I'm in Annapolis. He is in our Half Street studios in D.C., and this is The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking D.C. sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.